Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmat. Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us today. We're moving Jimmy up a day early because we have the ASU game tonight. South Point Resort Casino in Las Vegas. We'll get all the odds. I'm very interested in tonight's Thursday night NFL game. I think Miami-New England, even though it's Miami winning two in a row over two teams that stink, then they do stink. Nashville stinks. Tennessee Titans, they stink. So I'm intrigued by this. Tom Brady is 8-0 on Thursday night games. Tom Brady has like 20 touchdowns and two interceptions in Thursday night games. Usually Thursday night games are low-grade dog food because the players are beat up. The quality of football is not very good. But I am interested in seeing that game tonight. The ASU game, because we do so much stuff here locally on the high school, college, pro level, pro, college, high school, no difference to me. ASU Oregon tonight, I'm not sure if I'm going to go. I have a pass to go. The key is parking. Parking's always crucial. Then getting into the press box, which is fine. I've heard they have new TVs in there this year. I've been to three ASU games as a fan. I'm not a fan of the stadium. I'm a fan as going to watch college football. I do not wear maroon and gold when I go because I'm not a fan. I didn't go to ASU. I'm just a fan of sports. It's fine. This game, the start of the year, and we'll talk more about it in the next segment, was viewed as something really special. Now it's just a game. So that's going on tonight. I want to start today's show with, and by the way, if you're wondering about Jake Plummer, because I've had some people send me some notes on that, he is tomorrow. He'll be on tomorrow's show. We wanted to have Jake after the ASU Oregon game. I want to start today with the World Series a little bit that from watching last night, and also the Suns from last night. And I think we'll go local first. My guy Keith Morris, my guy who I'm the head of the Markieff Morris fan club. I've only been pointing out for 2 years that I don't understand why it is he is still in a Suns uniform. For 2 years, I've said, please somebody explain to me why it is that this guy is thought of so highly and why it is that this is going to be the year that anything's going to be any different. And so last night on opening night at home against Dallas, the Suns got absolutely annihilated last night. They got embarrassed. I'm hearing Steve Albert and Eddie Johnson on the Fox Sports Arizona broadcast just filling time with, like, I don't know, 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. I was in my office working on some things, and the baseball game was basically over, so there was nothing else for me to watch last night. My wife was watching all these nightmarish sitcoms that had things to do with Halloween. I just don't care. I wanted to see the Suns do something, and then it came up. There's five fouls on Markieff. Oh, he's going to have to go to the bench. And I'm kind of curious because I didn't watch the first quarter and a half. You know, I'm busy. I don't have 2 hours and 25 minutes. Yeah, Markieff is one of six shooting, they pointed out. 4 points in 11 minutes. And this is your guy who didn't want to be here. And it's opening night. And they absolutely lay an egg on opening night. Did you watch, Eric, last night?
I watched part of it, and then I had it. I was like listening to it on the radio a little bit, driving around, and then I came home, and they were down. They had the lead cut down in the fourth quarter to 12, and within a 60-second span, Dallas's lead ballooned back up to like 22. Just like they gave up like four layups and a jump shot, and just like that, it was like back to a 22-point game.
Well, here's the thing.
Game over.
Bledsoe was 4 of 12 last night. And I'm watching these guys, and Booker played well, and I swear if all I hear today is how it was a loss, but it was a gain because of Booker, gosh, man, I am so sick of these angles of 5 straight years of, but look at the kids. Look at how great the kids are. Please get Markieff out of here. You may be saying it's one game, and you am I contradicting myself? Because last week I said, you know, if he plays well, they're actually not a bad team. No, I'm not. It's just he's not consistent. It's opening night and you fail to show up for the bell. There was nothing different other than his brother wasn't here.
Yeah, the Suns didn't even shoot 40% from the field, and they only made 63% of their free throws. Not a real good way to start your season.
No, and it's Dallas. Okay, this isn't Oklahoma City or San Antonio. Dallas is a fringe playoff team. And I'm watching it, because our show was on last night at 6 on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sesmat Football AZ. And the pregame show, I went and did some things, and I came back when the game started, and it didn't feel like the home opener. It didn't have this special, wow, this is going to be awesome. What a great season is lying ahead of us. They've got to get off to a quick start, and facts are, when I see the same cast of characters, essentially, well, we have all these new faces on our team. Yeah, but most of them are guys that are just guys. Your guy, Keefe, is somebody who's not just supposed to be another guy.
Keefe, PJ Tucker, and Tyson Chandler combined for 9 points. Combined for 9 points.
See, if I'm running a franchise and I'm looking at culture, Keefe has gone a long, long time ago. And I'll get this. Well, you're not here. You don't know. Has he produced consistently? Like, really, who is in this corner on this one? Man. And the Ring of Honor, that's not sold out tomorrow night. It's a Friday night home game for Steve Nash going into the Ring of Honor. And I'm hearing about tickets last night. Still tickets available. This once proud brand? Oh, my gosh. We'll see. For some reason yesterday afternoon, my wife had on the local news channels. And so she's flipping around and I'm these poor guys that have to sit there with pom-poms and say, oh, it's going to be a great year and come on down and look at all the excitement and all the energy and, oh, God, what a disaster. It's kind of like the Fox truck the other night disaster. So they lose 111-95 and it wasn't even that close. And if you're like, you sound really grumpy. Yeah, because I don't know. Are you a Suns fan? Are you excited about this thing? Oh, it's just one game. You're so negative. Same stuff, guys. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over. If you're Jeff Hornacek, you're rolling the same guys out there over and over and over. Man, just give me, I don't know, 5 games in a row where you're at 15-10-6.
Dallas had 8 players in double figures last night. And Wesley Matthews had 9 points. So they almost had 9 players in double figures.
And Mark Cuban was in the house, which was fine. So, yeah, I'm not, I'm just so unhappy on that front. Johnny Manziel's review has not been completed. This is far more interesting to me. The Cardinals don't know which quarterback they're going to play. I think I'd rather play against Johnny Manziel if I'm a Cardinal fan. Josh McCown is a good veteran backup quarterback to have on your team. He's just smart and strong enough to make plays happen and keep the team in the game. Manziel is somebody that I think the Cardinals could just come after and crush. So Mary Kay Cabot is very good. She writes for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She's been the Browns beat person for a long time. There's this incident with Johnny Manziel and his girlfriend, an argument, all this stuff. No disciplinary action will be taken by the league as a result of their investigation. But again, it's just another long line of Johnny Manziel questions. I had Peter King on earlier this week, and Peter was talking about the last chance sort of thing. And there's been distraction, obviously, with Manziel. And with all the buzz, we never see Cleveland out here. Last time that the Cardinals were in Cleveland, I happened to be there. I was doing the TV thing, and they lost 44-6. I remember calling my wife at halftime of the game, and it was completely out of control and out of hand. I said, I don't know what I've missed with my family, but I'm sorry that I'm here. I'm sorry that I have to be on a plane that jet fuel was wasted to watch this crap. That's when the Cardinals were really bottomed out. And they haven't been back since. And so we don't get to see them. And with all the buzz around Manziel, how would you not want to see him play? I think it would give the Cardinals a better chance to win, actually. So there's that on the Cardinals front. I saw where Carson Palmer, Pro Football Focus, has Carson Palmer as the number one quarterback in the NFL this year, according to all the stats of PFF. Pro Football Focus is about as in-depth of analytics as any group that's out there. He's playing at a higher percentage level with his throws than Tom stinking Brady. Crazy. And he should put up better numbers this week. He's got Cleveland.
Tricky game, though, for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
This coming off Monday Night Football, flying across the country,
yes.
Game before the bye, playing
yes.
a team you should beat, blah,
yes.
blah, blah.
Right.
The better team. I mean, they're the better team. There's just no doubt about it. Regardless who's playing quarterback for the Browns, the Cardinals are a better team. But
we said before the Ravens game, if you get through the Ravens and Browns, these are two teams that you should meet.
For sure.
Then you're on your way. The way they played against the Ravens the other night, to me, I'm looking at them and I'm still in this, are they a great team? Like Green Bay is playing Denver on Sunday night. And everybody's talking about how the Green Bay-Denver game, it's the game of the week. We have Jimmy Vaccaro here in about 10 minutes to talk more to Jimmy about it. I don't know. Peyton Manning's not playing well at all. And while the Broncos' defense pretty darn good, Broncos' offense stinks. And Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers. If I look at teams in the NFC, if this is truly an all-or-nothing year for the Cardinals, because their time is running out on Carson and on Larry and on others, this is the window of opportunity. Are the Cardinals a better team than Green Bay right now if they lined up on a neutral site? Actually, right now, they'd line up on the Packers field. The answer is no, they're not better than Green Bay. Are they better than Carolina on a neutral field? I don't think they are. They have not been consistent. A consistent team, Eric, even in your thought of this is a tricky game, and I happen to agree with you, but because I haven't seen them be consistent, this is a game that you go to Cleveland and you win convincingly. I'm not saying it was a bad loss or bad win the other night against the Ravens, but it didn't do anything to take away my thought that this is a good team. But I don't know if they're a great team. You know, I don't see that. Like Seattle's muddling around here. They're going to Dallas this week, and they may well lose at Dallas this week. I think the line is 8 on that game. That's a lot. And the Cowboys' offense is just horrible. Matt Castle throws some ducks that you take your shotgun and shoot down. It's just so bad. But Russell Wilson has been the most sacked quarterback in the NFL this season, believe it or not. Russell Wilson. And it's if they can't turn around and hand the football off, they certainly can't throw it. I don't think that the Seahawks are better than the Cardinals, even with their record today. But as we've seen in the NFL, it's where you're at around Thanksgiving and beyond. Where you're at in like the next 3-4 weeks. Let's figure it out. Up next, more on ASU tonight. So there's these Pat Tillman uniforms that people on social media are all buzzing about. I've got my thoughts on that. And also on the matchup Oregon and ASU. A national view on this game, or actually on ASU and U of A as well. We'll have that in the next segment as we continue on. Sports360AZ.com. I didn't get over to baseball. I'll get to that too. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, Jimmy Vaccaro, in a couple of minutes, we'll go to Vegas, get a view of the game tonight, the ASU-Oregon game, and also the Dolphins and Patriots. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. ASU-Oregon tonight. At the start of the year, this was a game that you looked at and you said, wow, this is going to be a terrific matchup. This is going to be two high-powered teams. This will be two teams that may be ranked in the top 15 in the country. This may be a game that as we get towards the first ballots that come out on the college football playoff, both these teams may be in contention. Instead, it's two teams that have been brutally disappointing this season. It's not like ASU is out of the Pac-12 South yet. They need a lot of help, and they obviously need to go win their games from here forward, even though this is not a South game. But they need a lot of help. And anybody, I get these nitwit ASU fans, oh, well, you know, U of A doesn't have to help us out. Yeah, just enough. Okay, just stop. U of A beats USC. U of A beats Utah. That helps you immensely. And then ASU needs to beat U of A. It's funny, when I talk to people that are fans of the SEC or the Big Ten who and Big 12 who get that you want your rivals to do well, And then out here, it's, oh, no, there's no way I'd ever want U of A to do well. Really? You just don't get this new playoff then. You do not get it. So Brad Edwards was with us earlier from ESPN, one of the best in the country, and you may have missed it from yesterday. And I asked him about ASU U of A. Here's a quick snip from this. This was yesterday. It's not very encouraging. It's kind of a downer, kind of a letdown, one of the best that's out there. That sees the tea leaves on this. But look, he's right. At the midpoint, there's five games left, Eric. And starting tonight for Arizona State, they have Oregon.
Yeah, these two teams have six losses between them, ASU and U of A.
Never would have thought it. But and now you look at the Texas A&M loss, and that team was not that good, right? I mean, Texas A&M has turned
into I still think they're a good team. They've lost to two really good teams, but they're not an elite team. They're on the same. They're a little bit better than the ASU.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. They're just a little bit better. But as we sit here with five games left, if Arizona State were to win out, okay, ASU wins out, they take care of business against Oregon. They go to Washington State. They have Washington. They have U of A. They have Cal.
That's just not an easy stretch.
Okay. Not an easy stretch, but. If they were to, is it impossible? The answer is no.
It's not impossible. It's just all those games are so different. I mean, you're just facing, you know, you're facing a Washington defense that's really good, and then you're facing your rival, and then you got to go to Cal, and Goff is going to throw it around 90 times.
Falk will throw it 100 times.
Of course,
maybe,
and who knows week, what their mindset is going to be after the U of A game. The fact that they have a conference game on the road after U of A, that's just not nice. Like, whoever did the schedule, that's just not cool.
So in Arizona State's case, it looks like San Diego. It looks like when we're talking about bowl destinations. I'd like for them to go to San Antonio. I think that would be different. I think them going to Texas would be terrific. I would just want to take this pen and shove it into my eye if I have to read and hear about these angles about how important the extra practices are for the bowl game.
Oh, you'll hear it.
And recruiting.
You'll hear it.
In Southern California. I mean, it's just like the same stuff. Every single year.
And all that stuff is true, but like you said, after three or four straight years of Holiday Bowl, check, Sun Bowl, check, Holiday Bowl, check, you want to kind of get to that next.
Come on. Let's get on the next level.
Alamo Bowl would be a good destination, though. I agree.
Do you think Todd's going to be a little more humble in these final five games?
It depends.
I can't see him backing off of his statements.
This offseason, when he's vacationing in Japan or wherever he goes, because he always goes somewhere for like 3 weeks, and it's right. Not like he doesn't go to Flagstaff. He's probably going to think, you know, maybe this year I tone the Jets a little bit. Because
but that's not him.
You don't think he learned anything from what happened this offseason?
A Texas guy is going to tell you how great they are. It's like Cowboy fans. Cowboy fans are just, they're the worst. They just think they own the planet when their team blows. You know, they have this swagger and confidence and arrogance that is just mind-boggling to me. Your team stinks. Okay, the Cowboys do this year. And you know, when you get Tony back, and of course the Cowboys have got it all figured out. Their owner thinks Greg Hardy's terrific. You know, there's no problems there at all. Of course there isn't. Of course there's not. He's delusional. I'm not saying this is a negative on Todd. That's just who he is. That's who he is. And now that that's played here for a year, and I hear from fans all the time that have used the term, sold a bill of goods. We were sold a bill of goods. I don't know. That's probably what you want out of your coach is to say, we're going to be really good. We get enough, you know, what's he going to say? We stink at wide receiver. We don't have enough depth at wide receiver. We don't have our running back because he has mono. We lost some players early over the last few years that would have helped us out if they had stayed in school. You know, he's not going to say that. And all that stuff's true. All that stuff's true. We lost our running backs coach right before the season started. And from a chemistry standpoint, it jacked us up. If people don't want to admit to that, I don't know. The O coordinator was up in the box 1 week, and the next week he's down in the field. It jacked them up. But fans want this sugarcoating stuff, and we can't. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat. So Jimmy Vaccaro's next. We're going to get over to the after Jimmy. So I'll keep Jimmy just a couple minutes. I want to get into the ASU uniform stuff. is I'm very tired of uniforms. Just please win. But we have another one to talk about. This one's actually, I'm okay with it. I'll talk about that on the other side too. I'm Brad Sismat. Welcome back. It's good to be with you tonight. It is Oregon and ASU at Sun Devil Stadium over the weekend. Arizona's at Washington and the Cardinals are at Cleveland. We will be out at the game tonight and, of course, through the weekend. Really looking forward to seeing what happens with the Cardinals, because this is a game that you look at on the surface and say, by the following week. And we'll talk to Jimmy Vaccaro about it here in a couple of minutes. In fact, Jimmy joins us now. Jimmy Vaccaro, longtime Vegas bookmaker, South Point Casino Resort odds maker. Jimmy Vaccaro, one of the best in the business, joins us right there from Vegas. All right, let's get into the games tonight. Oregon, Arizona State. Jimmy, what's the view in Vegas?
Well, first of all, you better win this one. You've lost the last eight times Oregon's played Arizona State. Arizona State, home favorite, opened at 1.5, but there's been some money on your guys' side. There's a lot of spots in the city that that Arizona State's up to 3. Pretty good test for, obviously, for Arizona team that needs a win very, very badly here. So it should come down to the fourth quarter, but as we speak, Arizona State has taken a little bit more money than Oregon.
We have the national championship game in college football here in Glendale in January. So TCU plays tonight. Here's a team that is being looked at for the college football playoff against West Virginia. What's the view in Vegas?
The view in Vegas is what it's been the last couple of years with TCU. They've been a double-digit favorite against just about anybody that they play. Holderson, the West Virginia guy, they're really on the hot seat, and he'd better do a few things in November. He'll be gone also. TCU, a 14-point favorite. Once again, here he goes, the total, Brad. Opened at 75, up to 77.5, and should go a little bit higher come game time.
Miami, New England tonight on the pro side, really intriguing game. You know, the Dolphins last few weeks have beaten a couple teams they should have with a coaching change. Brady's unbelievable on Thursday nights. Jimmy, what's it look like for that game?
Well, like every game with New England now and the Green Bay Packers, it's the New England money and Green Bay money. In this case, no different. The Dolphins, yes, as we know, getting rid of Philbin was a good step. 1-2 games in a row have been obviously successful since he's been gone, but you're still dealing with a different animal here with Brady at quarterback. Open the game 7.5, and as anticipated, we're up to 8.5. Every parlay and every tease will be on the New England Patriots. It's a game, obviously, with a major marquee team. There'll be plenty of action. You couple that with a big college schedule also, it'll be a well-written game, but we will need Miami from right now until when they kick off, believe me.
Jimmy Vaccaro joins us, South Point Casino Resort odds maker, the wisest of the wisest from Vegas. What's the view where the Cardinals are right now as they're coming close to the bye week? They have Cleveland this week. Just where they are in Vegas's view right now, Jimmy?
Well, first of all, that little sound you made when you said Arizona going to Cleveland, it says a lot, my friend, and I'll tell you why. You're on the East Coast a couple weeks ago, and obviously you played the Steelers there. And then last Monday night, so it's a short week, and you drew a lot of attention last week also. The game went as high as 10. Now you're flying back east to a game, yes, you're supposed to win, but it's not a divisional game. This is a bad spot for your Arizona team. The line opened 4.5, and it's actually been steady there. Total 46, though. I would not be surprised if Cleveland is in this game to the final two-minute warning, but as Cleveland usually does, the past couple of years, when they have a game that looks like they're going to win, they give it away. But this isn't, as we call in Las Vegas, a great spot for your Arizona Cardinals.
How about overall when you're looking at power in the NFL and the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah, creeping up. Make no mistake about it. Their top five, they surely will make a lot of noise over the second half of the season. And Palmer's playing well. Fitzgerald, it's very apparent that the guys finally get enough of balls thrown to him so he can make a difference in the game. Defensively, you're playing much, much better than anticipated also. So right now, no lower than one of the six best teams in the NFL playing as we get to the break.
The Sunday night game, Green Bay, Denver, the view on that one.
What a game that's going to be. Green Bay, Denver. Green Bay undefeated, Denver undefeated. Although the Denver undefeated might be a little squeezy there with the They surely could have been 4-2 as easily as 6-0. The Packers, they play at half speed. They play just enough to win the game. Let teams back in the game. The game is Green Bay, a 3-point favorite. The smarts will be all over Denver, plus the 3, and even if it would go higher. But trust me, the general public is in love with both the Patriots and Green Bay. It'll be a big decision for us, and we're going to need Denver for a big payday, believe me.
Jimmy, appreciate the time and the insight as always. Thanks.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Jimmy Vaccaro there from Vegas. Appreciate his time. I'll do the ASU here. Let me go back on something I left on the table from earlier in the show. So the Sun Devils tonight are unveiling yet another round of new uniforms. New uniforms has become like the big fad. There's this ballpark food. What can we do and put up that's ballpark food friendly so that fans will want to come out and eat at the stadium? Okay. What can we wear so that fans will want to keep going back to our team shop over and over and over? What can we wear with our new partnership with our shoe manufacturer, our apparel deal that pays us gobs of money? And so ASU, and I'm okay with this one. I'm not okay with every week asking what are they going to wear when they lose, okay? When they get their doors blown off by USC, it doesn't matter what they're wearing. When they lose at Utah, who cares what they're wearing? When they went to Texas A&M and they lost, does it matter what they're wearing? If you're caught up in what they're wearing, then are you really into the product? Are you just superficial? Oh, it looks cool. Great. Knock yourself out. They're not good. Would you rather them wear stuff from a swap meet in Apache Junction and be undefeated? I would think so. I would hope so. So these latest rounds of uniforms that have come out, it has to do with the Pat Tillman Scholars. And I am big, of course. As many know, through the years, I've done tons of stuff around Pat Tillman. I'm not going to say anything negative here on this. I will say that there are times where I feel like if Pat were alive today and see all the stuff that is being done around him, he'd be like, what the bleep is all this? I could never imagine, or I don't want all this attention, all this bleeping attention, actually. But he's not here. And so I think for the most part, that everything around Pat Tillman has been done in the right way. There are some fringe outsiders through the years that have come to me about this and that that have nothing to do with Tillman Scholars or the foundation, and I don't pay any attention to them. It's just a simple, no, I'm not going to be involved with your group. That's that. This is gear that people will buy, and it's fine. Like Eric came in today. I saw earlier in the week where fans were all excited that Sparky's going to be on the middle of the field tonight.
Yeah, and I love the uniforms because it brings back the time when, I mean, the maroon helmet, the gold helmet, the maroon tops, and the gold pants reminds me of the late 90s. It reminds me.
It takes you back to your youth.
I was in college then, but I mean, those have good vibes. Those uniforms have good vibes, and it's just a classic look. And if you can honor Pat Tillman, that's obviously the top priority. But of all the alternative uniforms, the ones they're going to wear tonight are probably up at or near the top of my list.
If they just wore those uniforms every week,
I'd be great with it. Okay. I just love the look. I just love the sometimes less is more.
Yes.
I don't need a flame on the helmet.
Yes.
I don't.
Yes. No, you're right. Are you in my corner on this where there's entirely too much being made? But we understand it's the business side of it, you know. Fans want to get jacked up. We're raining on their parade. No, if all you have to sit to push out there is see how great our uniforms are and we're out of the college football playoff, that's not good.
And it's not – new uniforms aren't – they're not unique anymore. Like Oregon sort of set the bar so high because they roll out all these new uniforms.
Sure.
And they were a top-tier program. But now every team has these cool looking different alternative uniforms. So it's become not only watered down to ASU, but around college football.
Well, and
because teams are getting new uniforms every year.
When I hear the, you're just not relating to kids. No, I have kids. I relate to kids. my kids, I don't know if it's just growing up around me, but they'll point out, you know, ASU's not having a good season, are they? They don't say, boy, those uniforms are really cool.
And if the players like it and the recruits like it, that's obviously very, very important. But it's after a while, it just becomes a little bit mind-numbing.
You know what? I think Todd's on the same street as we are on that. I remember at Media Day, I asked him about it, and he just blew right through that question. I'm like, so everybody's excited because they really, yeah, well, whatever. Here's where we are on the field, which I like. I'd much rather have somebody who's into it. It should be a results-oriented business. It should be. Not a, well, we look really good, but we have a bunch of guys that have no business wearing a jersey. And you could have some fun with this. I don't know if you saw this. UTEP and Southern Miss are wearing orange and black on Halloween night. UTEP is wearing all orange. Southern Miss is wearing all black.
Nice.
So they're candy corns, you know, or whatever you want to call them. I think that's kind of fun. We are two programs that do nothing. We're just kind of there. So,
For Oregon State is Halloween.
That's true.
But yeah, I do like the all orange, all black. That's clever.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And tonight there'll be much made on the ESPN broadcast about the Tillman Foundation. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about to me. Because Pat did so many cool things, and the Tillman Run has turned into this mega event, and it's fine. It's actually better than fine. The Tillman statue out of Glendale is fine. It's terrific. When I talk to Tillman scholars, they haven't asked me to speak there recently, probably because a little bit of this, when I get on my rants about this stuff, I know that some of the people at ASU are just ultra sensitive. But I do think there's times where there's a little too much made, just a little too much. And I think of it from somebody who I think I knew well enough to say he'd be like, what the beep. So back with more after this time out. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Have not gotten into the World Series from last night and a few other things on my mind here on a busy Thursday. Which is what you want. You want a staff. If you ever have a staff where nobody's being pursued, then you're probably not going to have your own job for very long. If you're that insecure, not that Chip Hale was, but if as an organization, you're like, well, if we bring this guy here, we're only going to have him for a couple of years, then you're just not going to get it done. You know, I've seen businesses that operate that way. Well, this guy might take my job. Well, good. Have him push you a little bit. You don't just want it to be a one-person deal. But Andy Green leaving the Diamondbacks for the Padres, that speaks well about the Diamondbacks. It does. And they hired Mike Butcher as their new pitching coach. The Diamondbacks did yesterday. So good for Andy. I think that's great. The managing circus is going on right now, and Bud Black's probably going to get the Nationals job, which makes perfect sense, trying to get Strasburg straightened out. Black probably dealt with Strasburg some when Strasburg was at San Diego State. So that makes a lot of sense. Surprised that Don Mattingly goes to the Marlins from a managerial standpoint, because there were some that felt like he was just overmatched out in Los Angeles. Others felt like he wasn't on the same page as the new ownership group. I look at it and say, a Yankee in Florida, are you kidding me? Of course this makes perfect sense. From a business standpoint, Don Mattingly sells in Miami. They needed somebody down there to create some sort of buzz when Giancarlo's not hurt. So Mattingly to the Marlins, that is going to happen too. And Matt Williams has not surfaced anywhere. Not that I expected Matt to surface, but Seattle made their managerial hire. I'm trying to think what other ones are open right now. I think that's it. So maybe Maddie's just going to sit out, or Diamondbacks bring him back in some capacity within their minor league system, because I know they still have the home out here. World Series last night, I did watch a lot of the game. The Royals just seem better than the Mets as a team. The Mets have great pitching. So far, the pitching from the Royals has been better. Cueto's a free agent. I would love Johnny Cueto here in Arizona. I would take Johnny Cueto at the top of my rotation. If we're going through the free agent pitchers and what they're going to be able to afford, they're not going to be able to go after Zach Greinke at $30 million. That's not happening. Is Johnny Cueto enough of a one or a two? I think he's better than what the Diamondbacks have as their ones and twos, but I could be wrong on that. But I would be fine. I would be fine with that. I liked watching him pitch last night. Very effective. So
the Royals are, I mean, this series is just playing out perfectly for the Royals, because the Royals are a team, well, we want to get to the sixth or seventh inning and have a you know, a lead by a run or two, and then that bullpen is just so suffocating. The first two games, it's just the Mets just once the game gets to the late innings, the Mets just don't have a chance.
Well, the Mets closer's good, but it's getting
very good.
Yeah, but it's, you know.
But I don't know. I don't think the series is over. I mean, 2-0 is it's not the end.
No,
of the world,
all that's happened is the home team has done what they're supposed to do.
They
that's
just
it.
Held serve.
But it's not like the country is familiar with the Royals still. Kansas City, when I see Kansas City, I just see the Diamondbacks in 2001. Here's a small market team that has come all the way through and is really, really good. And they've got something about them as a franchise.
Oh, and the Diamondbacks of 2001 had far more name value. I mean, Schilling, Johnson, Matt Williams.
Jay.
Yeah, Jay.
Yeah, yeah. No, but you're right about that, Mark Grace. But
yeah.
But the thing is, here we are 14 years later in a completely different age of consuming media. I'm going to go to that angle for a minute. Fans have access all over the place now to learn about these guys. And I still don't think that they've really latched on. You know, the other night, game one of the World Series, opening night of the NBA, the NBA still held its own from a rating standpoint. The NBA actually did pretty well. It didn't do as well, like LeBron's. I saw where LeBron's game was down a little bit year to year. You don't have to have the star power when you have the drama that they had the other night in the Royals game one. And even last night early in that game, when I'm watching DeGrom and I'm watching Cueto, I'm seeing really good pitching. We're off today. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat.